Story of Moses, Part 2. 40 years have passed. 40 years of journeying, of fights and disagreements, of great victories and great disappointments. But above all, 40 years of God keeping the promises made to his people. The Israelites have at last reached the borders of Canaan, the promised land. As they prepare for the final stage of their journey, Moses, now an old man, makes his way to the top of Mount Nebo, which overlooks the promised land itself. Fools, the lot of them. Fools who can't see where their own stupidity will lead them. Look at them. They were bad enough when I was there to lead them, but now they're on their own. Who knows what they'll do? And I am so tired. Moses sat down on a rock and began to reminisce about his time with his people. 40 years, always on the move. No wonder I'm tired. Back there in the desert when we were hungry, God sent us manna, food sent from heaven to feed us. Every morning we would gather it and eat it until we were full. But of course that wasn't good enough for them. I remember the leaders coming to me. I wish the Egyptians had caught us all, said one. Another piped up. In Egypt we had fresh fish and fresh vegetables, melon and cucumber. Now it's manna, manna, manna. We're sick to death of this stuff. We want meat again. So, yeah, God sent us meat, flocks of quails that virtually flew into our arms. But the people became greedy, gathering more than they really needed. Quail for supper, quail for breakfast. Soon we had quail coming out of our ears. But of course, soon they were sick of the sight of it. Did I create these people? Did I have to carry them in my arms the whole distance? No, but it felt like it at times. If they weren't hungry, they were thirsty. Moses, Moses, there's no water out here. Did you bring us out here so we could die of thirst? Do you want to kill our children? We hold you responsible. Lord God, I thought to myself, what am I going to do with all these people if I don't find them water soon? They'll stone me to death. But God spoke to me, even as the people picked up stones to kill me. God told me to go with the elders and strike the rocks with my staff. God would stand before me and water would come out of the ground. So I took my staff and raised it high in the air. Crack! I brought it down on the rocks and water came out. Ha! Then there were the battles. Oh, after all, we weren't the only people in the desert. The Amalekites came and attacked us, but God was with us. I sent young Joshua to lead our forces and then went to look, overlooking the battle at the top of the hill. As long as I held my staff in the air, we triumphed. But if I lowered my arms, we would start to lose. I became so tired that Aaron and Hur had to hold my arms up for me. Joshua and his men, oh, they fought well, but it was only God was with us that we won. It was then, right enough, I had a welcome visitor, Jethro, my father-in-law. He had heard of all that had happened since we left Egypt and came to join us, bringing me some advice. Moses, he said, why do you insist on doing everything yourself? There's too much work for one man. There are others who can help. It's right that you represent the people before God and teach them, but appoint people to sort out the minor arguments for you. Find God-fearing men who can't be bribed. You can decide which cases truly deserve your attention and let them sort it out themselves with the rest of it. 3 months to the day after leaving Egypt, we came to the Sinai desert and camped at the foot of Mount Sinai itself. It was, I remember, Mount Sinai that God first spoke from the burning bush, telling me to go and bring the Israelites from Egypt. And now I had returned, bringing all Israel with me. There we camped and waited. In the morning of the third day, we were awoke by the sound of thunder. The mountain was alive with thunder and lightning, and the noise was indescribable. People woke in terror, running this way and that, crying and screaming, and they were all saying the same thing, yeah, as usual. Find Moses. Where is Moses? Save us, Moses. But they had good reason to be afraid. with a trumpet blast louder than thunder, God himself had come down onto the mountain. So I went up the mountainside, up into the smoke and cloud, through the ground trembled and the smoke billowed as if it was coming out of a furnace. And there I saw God face to face. And God spoke to me. And then I went back to the people and told them everything God had said. I said to them, gathered them together, "The Lord our God brought us out of Egypt. If we obey his commandments, then out of all the people on earth he will treasure us the most. These are his rules that we must obey if we are to be his people. Listen to what he says. 1. You shall have no other gods beside me. 2. You shall not make idols in the shape of anything in heaven or on the earth or below the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. 3. Do not take the Lord's name in vain, for God will punish anyone who misuses his name. 4. Remember the seventh day and keep it holy. You shall work for 6 days, but you must do no work on the seventh. 5. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. 6. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. 10. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or manservant or maidservant, or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbour. They saw the lightning and heard the thunder, and were so afraid that they begged me to speak to God for them. It wasn't to last, of course. The complaining returned. But now we had God's law to live by, those 10 commandments and hundreds of other laws given by God covering all of life. God wanted us to love him and obey his laws. We were to care for one another, and his laws showed us how. The law provided for the poor and protected the land. Not just a set of restrictions, but a tool for living, a gift from God. And the people accepted it gladly. I built an altar with 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel descended from Jacob's 12 sons. I read aloud to them the terms of the covenant with God, and they replied, "We will do everything our God says. We will obey." And so I went to talk with God once more, taking with me Joshua, who'd fought the Amalekites. Together we made our way back up the mountain. We were gone for 40 days. In that time, God told us how to build the Ark of the Covenant, the box that would hold the formal agreement between God and his people. We were told to build the tabernacle, the tent, where God would dwell during our journey. When God had finished, he gave me the 10 commandments written on stone, and then we went back down to the people. As we approached, Joshua, with his better hearing being a younger man, said, "Moses, I can hear shouting. Is there war in the camp? What's happened?" "Oh, no, no, that's not shouting, Joshua. It's singing." It turned out we had been gone 40 days. We'd been gone long enough for the people to think that we would never return. Oh, no. I left Aaron in charge. This shouldn't have happened. They're completely out of control. It seemed the whole people were having a huge, enormous, never-ending party. They're worshipping that golden cow. That golden calf there, the fools, don't they understand anything? I pulled Aaron aside. "Aaron, what have you done?" "Oh, Moses, Moses, we thought you must be dead. I can explain everything. You know what the people are like. And with you gone, they said they wanted gods to go before them. So I took their gold and their jewellery and I threw it in the fire. And look, this calf came out. This cow came out. You made it with tools. You made it." I don't know what I was expecting from them, but it certainly wasn't this. They'd agreed to worship no other gods, and yet as soon as I left them alone, they actually went and made one. I was so enraged, I smashed the stone tablets, the tablets that God had written on with his own hand. I took the wretched golden calf they'd made and burned it in the fire. I ground it into powder, mixed it with water, and made them drink it. I pleaded with God to spare them, reminding him of the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that from them would come a whole nation. And he forgave them. He gave them chance after chance to accept God's ways. But the Israelites were never satisfied. And then, when we were within sight of the promised land, the people provoked God's anger again. This time I sent 12 spies to survey the land ahead. Caleb from the tribe of Judah and Joshua reported that the land was just as God said it would be. The local people fled in terror whenever they saw them because of what our God had done. The people we would have to fight were fainting at the sight of us. But the other spies exaggerated and lied, saying the people were too strong for us and the land too poor to sustain life. And all that night we argued with them. One side saying, "We'll have to fight. We'll die in battle. Our wives and children will be kidnapped. So why do it? I say we should go back to Egypt." And I replied, "Joseph and Caleb said the land here is good. If it pleases God, he will lead us into the land he promises." "And why would you want to go to Egypt? But we have nothing to fear if God is with us. Then these people can do nothing against us, remember?" The leaders replied again, "We don't care. People say there are giants roaming loose and we're like grasshoppers to them. Our leaders have led us to certain death. Stone them. Stone them to death. Appoint new leaders and return to Egypt." And so it went on, bickering back and forth, shouting, arguing, until I had had enough. I stood up, leant on my staff, looked around them all. "You were slaves in Egypt. Have you forgotten already what God has done for you? Is your faith so weak? I will appeal to God to save your lives." God sentenced the unbelieving Israelites to wander in the desert until that whole generation had died. The journey was hard and long, but not without reason. God was not simply rescuing us from Egypt, but was making us into his people, a holy people. The journey should have only taken months, but God knew we weren't ready to take possession of the land he was going to give us. And so he taught us. He taught us to take his commandments to heart, to teach them to our children, to make them part of our daily lives. We built the tabernacle, the tent where God lived with us during our journey, and placed the Ark of the Covenant inside. When we finished, God covered the tent with a cloud by day and a fire above it by night. During all our travels, we could clearly see that God was with us. But still, the people had no faith. Moan, moan, moan. "Oh, there's no water in here. There's a dreadful place to camp. Are you trying to get us killed?" Lack of water was a serious thing, but God spoke to me. "Take your staff, Moses, and gather everyone in front of this rock. Speak to the rock and water will come out of it, enough for the people and their livestock." And yet, even with all the miracles God performed, the people still complained. I was beyond furious. "I have had enough. You were hungry and I fed you. You were lost and I led you, and still you complain, and now you say you're thirsty. Do you want water? Here, drink until you burst. I'll give you water." I was never been angrier. My anger cost me dear. In my rage, I'd taken credit for things that God had done. I had seen God's holiness with my own eyes and knew he couldn't make compromises, not even for me. And so it came to the bit. I gathered the leaders of the tribes of the people of Israel and said to them, tomorrow you take possession of the land God promised you. I appoint Joshua as my successor. Obey him as you would me. They all looked askance. Moses, what are you saying? You make it sound like you won't be coming with us. I replied to them, I have sinned and God can make no exceptions. As my punishment, I can come no further. Now listen to me. I'm giving you a command, but it's not difficult. It's here with you now. You know it and can quote it. And it's simply this. Choose life. If you obey God and keep his commands, then God will bless you. But if you disobey and worship other gods, then you will be destroyed. I am giving you that choice. Choose well, and God will go before you. I put my arms out and hugged Joshua. Be strong, Joshua. Be brave. God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Take to heart all the things I have said to you over the years. They're not idle words. They are your life. And so, Moses climbed the mountain and looked down over the promised land. Moses was 120 years old when the Israelites left him to go onto the land God had promised. But his eyes were not weak and his strength had not gone. He died in old age, and although he never entered the promised land, he saw it spread out before him from the mountain top of Nebo. Neither before nor after was there a prophet like Moses who knew God face to face.